What if the very fact that you are trying to, you know, fix yourself is actually the exact thing that's guaranteeing your failure?
Right. I mean, just think about that for a second.
We are constantly told we need to find our flaws or hack our productivity and heal all our broken parts.
It's exhausting.
It is.
Yeah.
But what if that entire mindset is just locking you into this cycle of self-sabotage?
Yeah.
Today, we are exploring a really controversial framework for this deep dive, and it's built on a single, fairly radical premise.
Which is that you are not broken.
Right. But, I mean, if you aren't broken, why is your business failing? Like, why do you feel so stuck?
Well, that is the central paradox we're unraveling today. We are looking into the magnetic mind method and the superconscious recode.
Which is a practitioner-developed system, right?
Exactly. Created by an entrepreneur named Christopher Duncan. And to give you the most accurate picture possible, we've pulled from a really polarized stack of sources.
Yeah, we have material straight from Duncan's own conscious education company.
Which, you know, obviously present the method in its absolute best light.
Of course. But to balance that, we're bringing in a highly critical third-party review by an entrepreneur named Ipe Kanahara.
And heaps of intensely divided feedback from various Reddit communities.
So our mission today is to objectively map this out for you.
We want to understand Duncan's personal journey, like from severe burnout to multi-million dollar success.
And we really want to dissect the actual mechanics of his method, especially how these unwanted childhood beliefs create invisible barriers.
Right. And we'll impartially examine the intense public reaction to his claims and, well, his very high-ticket programs.
So to really grasp how this practitioner-developed method came to be, we kind of have to look at the environment that forged Duncan's mindset.
Yeah, he grew up in a middle-class family in New Zealand. And like so many of us, he internalized this very specific traditional belief about success.
That time equals money.
Spot on. The harder you work, the more you get.
It's the foundational ethos of the entire modern working world, eh? We are practically spoon-fed this equation from birth.
Oh, absolutely. And Duncan really lived it. His early professional life was just defined by this intense brute force grind.
He was literally walking around neighborhoods, knocking on doors to sell water filters.
Yeah, and he moved through a few different ventures until he found major traction in the solar industry.
He pushed that business to over $1 million in revenue in a single year. Which is huge.
It is huge. But the problem with the time equals money equation is that, well, it doesn't scale infinitely.
Right. You either run out of time or you run out of energy.
Exactly. And for Duncan, that rapid growth just wasn't sustainable because he lacked the underlying systems to support it.
The sheer physical and mental effort required to just keep the lights on pushed him into severe burnout.
It got to the point where he actually had to shut the solar business down entirely.
Wow. So he hits a wall, but he pivots.
He does. He takes the lessons from that failure, partners up with his best friend, and they build an education and marketing business.
And this one is a massive success. They scale it to $4.5 million.
And supposedly, they're only working part-time. Life is incredible. They're even preparing to fly out a major marketing speaker to Australia.
But then, on the 3rd of March 2016, everything just shatters.
Yeah. Duncan received a phone call that his best friend, who was also his business partner and his mentor, had been killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, man, that is just an unimaginable tragedy.
The loss was profound. Duncan later described the aftermath of that moment as feeling like he was drowning in a deep body of water.
Just completely disoriented.
Yeah, not knowing which way was up. Gutted, basically.
And yet, amidst that immense grief, the sources show Duncan essentially absorbs his late partner's role.
He teaches himself everything his partner was doing, steps up to the plate, and somehow manages to rebuild the company to $2 million.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
But this is where the mechanics of his success really start to glitch.
Right. He hits this invisible, maddening wall. He finds himself trapped in an oscillating pattern.
Let's visualize what that actually looks like for you listening. The sources show he was making $148,000 in a single month.
Which, on paper, sounds like a phenomenal breakthrough.
But then he's immediately turning around and spending $140,000 of it on advertising and team costs.
Yeah, he's generating massive revenue but retaining almost none of it.
It's like being stuck on a financial and emotional treadmill. You keep turning up the speed, you're sweating, you're exhausting yourself.
But fundamentally, you are not moving an inch forward.
Right. So how does this specific frustration lead to the creation of the magnetic mind method?
Well, that treadmill exhaustion forced him to seek counsel completely outside his usual echo chamber. He ended up having a conversation with a billionaire, and this billionaire offered him a single paradigm-shifting observation.
What does he say?
He told him, Chris, you have to be it to see it.
Be it to see it. I mean, it sounds simple, but let's break down what that actually requires someone to do.
The billionaire was pointing out that Duncan was constantly living towards his vision.
Ah, like treating success as a distant destination he had to reach.
Exactly. The advice was to stop traveling and start occupying. He needed to choose to be the future Chris's right in the present moment.
And that single shift in perspective created a sort of domino effect, didn't it?
It did. It led Duncan to question the fundamental premises of the entire personal development industry.
Which brings us to a pivotal meeting with a coach named Colette Streicher.
Right. Because of the billionaire's advice, Duncan was open to exploring new modalities, and Streicher introduced him to this concept of the superconscious.
Though Duncan was highly skeptical initially, right?
Very. I mean, he had already studied various coaching modalities, including NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Which focuses on reprogramming your language and behavior patterns.
Yeah, so he wasn't looking for just another basic mindset hack. Streicher offered to cure a fear of public speaking to prove her method's efficacy, but Duncan already thrived on stage.
So he challenged her to address something much deeper.
He asked her to fix the lingering, heavy grief he still carried over his friend's death.
And according to Duncan's own accounts and the source material, that single session fundamentally altered his trajectory.
He describes it as a suffocating weight being physically lifted right out of his chest.
Wow. And that experience became the catalyst for his core philosophy.
Exactly. He realized that the mainstream personal development industry operates on a flawed assumption.
That it treats people as if they're fundamentally broken.
Yes. It assumes you are a puzzle missing pieces, and you have to fix your underlying trauma or flaws before you can be granted success.
And that revelation actually becomes the title of his New York Times bestselling book, You're Not Broken.
Duncan argues that you do not have to fix yourself to get what you want. You simply have to choose to create it.
Okay.
From there, he synthesizes what he learned from Streicher with a surprisingly eclectic mix of disciplines.
Yeah, he claims to pull from neuroscience, quantum physics, epigenetics, and alchemy to create this new practitioner-developed method. Okay, I have to jump in here and clarify some of this terminology for you listening, because we are throwing some pretty heavy words around.
Fair enough.
When the sources say alchemy, are we talking about literal wizards trying to turn lead into gold?
No, not literal lead into gold. In this context, he's using alchemy as a framework for profound metaphorical personal transformation.
Ah, turning the lee of your current struggles into the gold of your desired reality.
Spot on. Similarly, when the method mentions epigenetic meditation, it's referring to the theory that deep mindfulness and mental recoding can actually influence how your genes express stress.
Potentially clearing out generational trauma.
That's the claim, yes.
I appreciate the clarification, but it highlights something really fascinating about this whole topic.
What's that?
We're looking at a system that mixes highly esoteric New Age mysticism like alchemy and the superconscious with brutal capitalist external business metrics.
Like ad spend and funnel conversion rates. It is a very jarring contrast.
It is.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to push back on the core philosophy. If the premise is that we are absolutely not broken, why do we fail?
That's the big question.
Like, if you were a listener struggling to get your startup off the ground, is this you're not broken mindset just a brilliant psychological trick to relieve you of guilt?
Or does it dangerously ignore the very real practical skill gaps you might have?
Exactly.
Well, this is the central tension of Dumphin's entire body of work. His framework suggests that your business failure isn't happening because you lack intrinsic worth or because your nature is flawed. The failure is merely a symptom of internal resistance. It's a conflict in your underlying programming.
Right. And to resolve that, we have to look at the actual mechanics of his 8-step superconscious process.
Which brings us to a huge part of the framework. Step one of this process is recognizing unwanted beliefs formed in childhood.
The method posits that when we are children, our brains are essentially just survival machines, eh?
Yeah, we form certain beliefs to make sense of our environment, to stay safe, and to ensure we receive love.
But as we grow into adulthood, these childhood survival mechanisms crystallize into what Duncan calls the 6 sabotaging beliefs.
And we should really walk through these 6 beliefs because they are the foundation of everything that follows in his method.
Let's do it. What's the first one?
The first is, I am not good enough.
And where does that come from?
This often forms when a child's efforts are just constantly criticized.
Ah, so an adult business behavior that manifests as chronic perfectionism.
Exactly. You never launch the product because it's never quite ready.
Right.
The second belief is, I am not worthy. This stems from feeling like love was conditional when you were young.
So an entrepreneur with this belief might constantly underprice their services.
Yes, or sabotage high-paying contracts because deep down they don't feel they actually deserve the wealth.
Wow. Okay, the third one is, I am not significant. I imagine this forms when a child is ignored or overshadowed.
Precisely. And in the business world, this looks like a deep fear of marketing or being seen.
You build a great service, but hide behind your logo, because putting your face on camera triggers that childhood feeling of insignificance.
Spot on. The fourth belief is, I do not belong.
That's a tough one.
It creates immense networking anxiety or imposter syndrome. You feel like an absolute fraud in every boardroom you walk into.
Which leaves two more.
The fifth is, I am not capable. This forms when parents do everything for a child, signaling that the child can't handle the world.
So as a founder, you might outsource every critical decision or constantly seek validation.
Right, because you just don't trust your own competence. And finally, the sixth belief is, I'm not perfect.
Which I'm guessing leads to absolute paralysis by analysis.
Exactly. You freeze up entirely.
So these six childhood beliefs create what the method calls limiting structures in our adult lives.
Yes, and Duncan refers to the friction they cause as structural tension.
Let's give that a concrete image. Structural tension is like trying to drive a high-performance sports car with the parking brake permanently yanked up.
That's a great way to put it.
Your conscious mind is stomping on the accelerator saying, I want to build a million-dollar business. But your unconscious structure, driven by one of those six sabotaging beliefs, is pulling the brake.
Saying, I am not worthy of this success.
The friction between those two competing forces is what burns you out. It is what causes the oscillating treadmill we saw Duncan experience.
And the superconscious recode is designed to release that parking brake.
How so?
The process shifts the individual from a victim structure, where life is happening to you and you are constantly battling your own internal beliefs,
right,
into a creative structure, where you view yourself as a powerful creator, totally detached from those childhood narratives.
Okay, so the theory makes a lot of intuitive sense.
Yeah.
But here is where the practitioner instructions get very specific. And quite frankly, a little mystical.
They do.
The sources state that to release this tension, a practitioner guides the client to step through the wizard's gate.
Yeah, Duncan uses terms like wizard's gate, which admittedly sounds like something straight out of a fantasy novel.
It really does.
But functionally, it is a guided meditative technique designed to induce a deep flow state. It connects the client with the present moment and the superconscious,
which he describes as an infinite field of information.
Right.
To step through this gate, the instructions say you must drop into the heart. You have to access a childlike, playful imagination.
You communicate directly with the superconscious, and you look for clear messages via metaphors, symbols, sounds, or images.
Then you use a wisdom process to interpret those messages,
yeah,
and align your choices with your end goal.
Yes.
I really want to understand the mechanism here, though. Why symbols? Why are we interpreting metaphors instead of just writing out a practical pros and cons list?
Well, Duncan claims that the superconscious does not communicate in English, and it certainly doesn't communicate in spreadsheets. It speaks the primal language of symbols. By forcing your brain to interpret a metaphor or an abstract image, the method supposedly bypasses your critical, self-sabotaging conscious mind entirely.
Ah, so you slip past the part of your brain that enforces that I am not worthy belief.
That's the idea.
I understand the internal logic there, but I have to represent you, the listener, here, and introduce a massive dose of skepticism.
Please do.
How do abstract metaphors received by dropping into the heart actually resolve structural tension in something as fiercely concrete as running a business?
What do you mean?
Let's say my supply chain is broken and my inventory is stuck at a port. How does visualizing a glowing blue orb fix my logistics?
Right. Okay. If we look closely at Duncan's claims, he isn't saying the glowing blue orb fixes the shipping container directly.
Okay.
He is claiming that the structural tension inside you is what causes you to panic about the supply chain or to ignore the warning signs for months.
Or to lash out and sabotage the relationships you need to actually fix the issue.
Exactly. By using the wisdom process to interpret those symbols, you allegedly remove the energetic block.
So once that internal parking brake is released, you can calmly and clearly see the practical external steps you need to take.
The internal recode clears the way for the external action.
I follow the theory clearing the mental block stops the panic. But at the prices being charged for this method, you can see why critics might argue that money would be better spent actually hiring a seasoned supply chain manager.
Oh, absolutely. Which brings us to the intensely polarized reception of this method.
Because we are talking about a highly internal, intuition-based framework being sold as a hard-hitting business and life solution.
And the financial investment required varies wildly.
It does.
Someone can enter a rapid recode group session for $49, but the funnel scales aggressively upward.
Really aggressively.
It reaches a staggering $63,000 for one-on-one superconscious mastery sessions with Duncan himself.
And if you want to be certified to teach the method, the sources say it costs nearly $20,000. I look at a number like $63,000 and I think of it as the guru tax.
A guru tax, right.
You really have to ponder the psychology behind a price tag that large. Is charging 63 grand a deliberate tool?
Like, does handing over that much money guarantee absolute unquestioning commitment from a client?
Yeah, forcing them to take the internal work seriously because they have so much skin in the game.
Or does it simply validate the critics' claims that this is an overpriced scheme preying on vulnerable, exhausted entrepreneurs who are desperate for magic bullet?
It acts as the ultimate Rorschach test for the personal development industry.
It really does. Let's look at the positives first, because the market is clearly responding.
Duncan has won multiple ClickFunnels, 2 Comma Club Awards.
For those unfamiliar, that is an industry award given to entrepreneurs who generate over $10 million in sales through their marketing funnels.
So he has built a massive enterprise.
Huge. And the testimonials are wild. On Duncan's site, and even from some independent users on Reddit, there are reports of astonishing, life-changing results.
Yeah, we read accounts of people claiming the method cured their lifelong claustrophobia. There are stories of people recovering from fatal-level injuries.
On the business side, we saw testimonies of people entirely stopping their procrastination and gaining immense, unshakable confidence in high-stakes sales calls.
And Duncan's own promotional videos pushed those claims even further.
He has stated on camera that these recode methods have cured blindness, reversed diabetes, and eliminated the fear of public speaking.
Now, it is crucial to note here that the fine print on his website states, these case histories do not imply any guarantee of results for the average user.
Which is a very necessary legal disclaimer.
Definitely. But then we cross the aisle to the negative reception, and the critics are just as vocal as the superfans.
They are. We sourced a third-party review by an entrepreneur named Ipe Kanahara, and he is highly skeptical.
He compares Duncan's superconscious entrepreneur program to a Paulo Coelho seminar.
By which he means it is full of beautiful, mystical ideas about the universe, but completely lacking in grounding or real-world facts.
Kanahara argues that changing your internal mindset doesn't automatically make your business prosper.
No, he advocates for tangible, measurable strategies like local lead generation where you can easily track the return on your investment.
He points out the inherent danger in attributing all your external business success directly to a personal development course.
And when you dive into the Reddit communities, well, the feedback is even harsher.
Much harsher. Many users flat out accuse the programs of operating like a multi-level marketing scheme.
Or simply being a scam. There are specific, repeated criticisms regarding manipulative sales tactics.
For example, one user detailed a 5-day free experience that culminated in Duncan artificially angering the value of a 12-month program at $12,000.
Specifically to make the discounted actual price seem like an unmissable deal.
There are also serious accusations of plagiarism from the community.
Yes, some users claim he lifted the core materials from other personal development coaches.
They specifically point to the work of a Dr. Michael Monroe Kiefer, who specializes in something called superconscious thought induction.
Now, Duncan maintains that his framework is a unique synthesis of over a decade of research, combining NLP, matrix energetics, and his own practitioner experiences.
But the vocal critics argue that dressing up existing self-help tropes in new terminology does not justify the exorbitant price tags.
It really is a tale of two entirely distinct realities, eh?
Straight up. On one hand, the sources present a visionary practitioner, a man who took the devastating loss of his best friend and the ashes of his own severe burnout and forged it into a framework that has ostensibly freed thousands of people.
Freed them from the suffocating grip of their childhood beliefs.
Right. He built an eight-figure empire simply by telling people, you are not broken.
And on the other hand, the sources outline an unproven, highly priced mystical framework.
The critics see a system that lacks tangible business skills, relies heavily on inflated value anchoring, and borrows its core concepts from existing, older personal development models.
It is a massive amount of conflicting information to process.
But ultimately, it brings us right back to that invisible pattern we talked about at the very beginning of this deep dive.
That desperate feeling of being trapped on a treadmill, sprinting as fast as you can, but never moving forward.
Which leaves you with a final thought to mull over the next time you feel that structural tension pulling your parking brake.
If Duncan is right, if we truly are not broken, and our internal mindset dictates our external reality, where exactly is the line between doing the internal work and the stark necessity of having practical, grounded business skills?
Right. If you manage to completely recode your mind and step through the wizard's gate, does the universe simply accommodate your new vibration?
Or do you still have to wake up the next morning and go knock on doors?
Something to think about the next time you feel like you're running in place.